Harry and I are now sharing glasses. If you can, I gotta come over here for a yes. That means he's younger than he looks. That's what that means right there. Yeah, good to see y'all this morning. How many of you glad to be here? It's a good day, isn't it? We're gonna have a baptism today, aren't we? Man. Rick, it's so good to see you, buddy. And really, truly, you walked into this church not too long ago, and we're just grateful to have you part of the family here. And you got a beautiful family with you over there, and we're just glad to have you part of this. And God loves you, buddy, and today is a great day for you, my friend. And last week, if you weren't here, how many of you believe in miracles? Well, stand if you believe a miracle. Let's try that. How many of you believe in miracles? There you go. Now, all right. Here, we ought to be shouting. I'm telling you, God is good. Man, I'm telling you what, we saw the greatest miracle that could ever happen last week right here in this little church. Mr. Chris back here gave his life to Christ and was reborn, praise God. Now, let me tell you something. If that don't get you on fire, your wood is just wet. You need to dry it out then. I walked away from here last Sunday praising God. I sent text messages. Almost everybody I know said, look what the Lord had done. Another person came into the family of Christ. Hallelujah. Man, that's good, ain't it? Y'all can be seated if you can. Brother Chris, let me tell you something, buddy. I'm so proud of you, my friend. And this week, I talked to him a little bit before church here. I said, how was your week? He said, well, the devil came at him. I said, I knew it. Every time somebody accepts Jesus as their Savior, the devil gets upset. You know why? Number one, he's already lost, right? Now, here's what he's worried about, Chris. He's worried about what you're going to do for the kingdom of God. That's why he's coming after you. Same thing with you, Ricky. You know, he's not worried about your soul no more. The soul don't belong to him. It belongs to Jesus. You're going to heaven. What the devil don't want you doing is pulling anybody up out of that pit with you. That's what I'm going to tell you something right now. Greater is he that is in you now than he that is in the world, praise God. And anything you're going to face, God is going to carry you through. The Holy Spirit's going to lift you up. You're going to be like on hinds feet. I don't know about you, but I like to be at the top of the mountain, not in the bottom of the valley. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is going to take you through it. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the power to push on. Amen? Amen. Man, it was so good last week. Now, I started thinking this week. I had a message. I wrote it out and everything. It was really, really good. And then I had to throw it in the trash can. It was really good. Maybe one day we'll come back to it. But I said, I'm going to preach on choices. That just sounds good. Choices, doesn't it? Lord, is that what you want me to preach on? And it was like crickets. That's all I heard. I'm going to tell you, I wrestle with God sometimes. And I say, listen, Lord. Now, I don't like to get a message on Friday or Saturday. God, I'd like to get a message on maybe Monday or Tuesday. If you could do that, that would be really good, Lord. Give me something early enough. And you know what God said? He said, I'll give it to you when you need it. Oh, man, that humbled me a little bit. All right, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So anyway, so Friday, I thought, well, I'm going to preach on choices. Came down here and had everything written out and everything. And I just went, oh, yes, Lord. Flipped the page over to the blank page. I said, now, what is it that you got for us, God? And here's what I want to tell you. He said, I have built a church that lasts. And I saw it and I said, what? I have built a church that lasts. And I started thinking, y'all remember that old Ford commercial? Y'all remember that? Fords were built to last. Now, I've got one, and for you Ford fellas out there, I'm going to tell you right now, I've got 250,000 miles on my Ford, and it's still going. Now, I'm going to sell it, so any of y'all interested now, you can buy my Ford. No. Well, I'm telling you something. Jesus has built the church that lasts. And I started thinking, I said, all right, now, God, if you built the church that lasts, I know you did, I want to be a church that lasts. God, I want to be part of a church that lasts. I want to be the church that lasts, God. How did you build it? Show me, because I want us to be able to see it. So if you got your Bibles with you, let's open up. We're going to go into the book of Acts. Look at Brianna. Thank you, Brianna, so much for that water this morning. It's going to be a full bottle day. I got to get it in now because football season's starting now. You know what I mean? We got we got stadiums that'll be packed out and churches that'll be empty. Isn't that something? Now that's pretty sad. But you could root for your team, but not your God. There's just something wrong with that picture. And I used to be there. I'm the first one to tell you. I was the guy that said football was more important than coming into church. And then I found out how much God loves me. And it don't matter who wins on Sunday. I'm going to win the victory. I'm going to win. And the final say-so, I'm going to be in glory. Now, let me tell you something. I could give up a few hours of my day to come in and give God some praise and worship. And so can you. Praise God that you're here today. You know what that says? That says that God is a priority in my life. That's what it says. And I'm not saying that people don't miss church. I understand things happen. That's okay. But what I'm talking about is when you make a choice to say, I want to watch, I can't even say the Commandos or Commanders, whatever they're called now. I used to be such a Washington Redskins fan. But now, when you want to watch your favorite football team, instead of coming in and giving God glory and fellowshipping with one another, I think we need to readjust our values. We need to look at our priorities differently. But let's go back into it. Acts chapter 2. Get my reading glasses on here. Verse 40. Y'all going to read with me? Say amen. Amen. You awake? All right. Verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Say 3,000.
3,000.
Say revival.
Revival.
How many of you would love to see 3,000 people get saved at one time? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day, Lord. I just ask for the next period of time here that you just let the words that come out of my mouth be your words, Lord. God, build your church. Edify the people in it. Give us revelation today, not of just knowledge, but of wisdom, Lord, of how to apply this into our lives. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. So I look at my daughter, my kids, and I look at the world. How many of you know that the world is in a bad shape right now? If you just take out all the good stuff we've been seeing here lately, I praise God. America, I believe, is getting back on track. Hallelujah. But I've read the book, and I've read the last book of the book, and I know that things don't get better in the world for the unbeliever. The world keeps getting worse and worse and worse, but I want to tell you something, that God's people rise above the problems that the world has. So you know what sets me on fire today? When I look at my children and I look at the churches, I think about the future generations to come. And I think, man, I'm awfully young to be thinking that way, but I do. When I see my children raise up, we've got Amy now is old enough, oh my goodness, to get married soon, and she's engaged, and we better never become grandparents, but if the day happens and we start looking at these, and I start looking at these kids, and I start looking at the generations out there, and I start thinking to myself, they need something to be able to help them get through it. Jesus knew that we would need something to help us get through it. Jesus said that he was gonna build this church and that the gates of hell could not prevail against it. I want you to understand something, that when the church was created, the church was created for the believers that were in it and for the other people to see, to witness, and to become part of. So my desire now, don't get me wrong, every person that's in this room today that is born again, saved, I want you to grow in Christ. But my heart burns for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. My heart breaks for the generations to come that are going to feel like they are defeated and broken and might as well just throw in the towel and do what the world tells them to do. We've been seeing these things on TV, Cracker Barrel and the logo and all this stuff that uproars. And I've got to tell you something. I could care less about a logo, but what I care about is the virtue that stands behind the logo. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of what's going on with them, but I'm going to tell you this right now, is that I want my children to know what the truth is, and the truth will set them free, and I want them to have the power and the stamina to stand up against what the world wants to put down their throats. Marriage is between a man and a woman. I want you to understand something. I love homosexuals. I need to make sure I put this out there. I do. I love them. I want them to come to the knowledge of who they are in Jesus Christ and understand that that is a bondage. It is a spirit upon them. And it's a, do you know that amongst those homosexuals have the highest percentage of domestic violence in the United States of America? It's evil in their homes and in their minds. And what I want them to do is be set free from that bondage. I want my children to know that it is not of God. And I want you to understand that when I speak it in love. If someone were to ask me, do I think it's wrong? I don't think it's wrong. The Bible thinks it's wrong. I don't have a personal opinion upon what the Bible says. I just stand on what the Word of God says, and I believe it. Therefore, it's not my opinion, it's my conviction. And as a church today, we need to be able to stand up and say, this is what is right and this is what is wrong, and the world needs to see that. But you know what? It's not about just the anger and the hate and all that other stuff. People need to see the love through it. This is where I think we fall short. Now, not us. We have the most lovingest church. I'll put it up against any church within a 100-mile radius. I believe it. Our mission here is to love the people through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a special kind of love. You know that? You can love your neighbor, right, by making them a cobbler or something you want to go get them. But do you love your neighbor to speak the truth to them? I love you enough to speak the truth to you. You know, I made a lot of enemies that way. But here's what's amazing, is that those people who have come against me like that normally come back around to me when they get enlightened of the truth. And they'll come back and they'll say, you know, Brother Mike, what you were talking about, I get it now. I really do. I understand that. And freedom is the best thing. I've been locked up behind bars before. Let me tell you something. I couldn't go where I wanted to go. I was stuck in there. I could look out and I could see the freedom that was outside the glass. I had a little window up there and I could look out and I could see the birds and I could see the trees, and I couldn't attain it. I was locked up in a prison. I'm telling you, we got people locked up in the devil's prison today that need to be set free. They are locked up and don't even know they're locked up. The devil has bound them up one chain at a time. And then all of a sudden, what happens is they didn't feel that first link or the second one. But before long, they're so weighted down, they are just broken in the world. You know how I know that? I've been there. How many of you have been there with me? Let me tell you something. God wants to take that brokenness, though. He wants to take that mess and turn it into a message. Oh, we need to be a church that is on fire for truth. We need to be a church that is on fire for God. That when you think about somebody and they are lost and undone, that we don't look at them with judgment. We look at them with empathy and compassion and sympathy and love and want to pull them out of those pits. While we started one of those ministries here, Celebrate Recovery. There's nothing more dangerous than altering your mind. You will open yourself up to things that you never thought that you would possibly open up to. I want the next future generations to have a power-filled church. I want my daughter and my sons to grow up in a church that demonstrates, that has the power of the Holy Spirit in it. I don't care about smoke machines. I don't care about lights and lasers. I don't care about the biggest and the fanciest and the newest. I could care less. I don't care about the program meetings that are on every Tuesday at 5 o'clock or whatever it may be. I don't care about any of that. If it don't serve God, if it don't pull in the lost, it's a waste of time to me. I have nothing against mega churches. I need to make sure I clarify that. I don't care. There are some huge churches, praise God, that are preaching the truth of Jesus Christ and the Lord, and I support them wholeheartedly. But let me tell you something. If you're going to have a church that pulls in the world and then just mimics the world and sends them right back out into the world and they're not changed when they come in, then it ain't a church. It's a social club. I don't want to be that church. We're going to be what I call a 3D church. A 3D church. No, it ain't no 3D printer. I'm going to give you the 3Ds of a 3D church this morning. Amen? You awake? Look with me in verse 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. You know, I think it's funny or interesting, not funny, but interesting. And they continued steadfastly. You know what that means? That meant that they were committed. They were steadfast in what they were doing. It means that they kept doing it over and over and over and over. The first D is you've got to be a devoted church, a church that is constantly steadfast. A devoted church is devoted to the word. A devoted church is devoted to fellowship. A devoted church is devoted to prayer. Do you notice there was three things particular that came out in that verse 42 right there? There were three things that he said that we need to make sure that we understood. Number one was the doctrine. You got to know what the word says to be able to be steadfast. You got to be devoted to the word of God. The second thing was the fellowship. You can't just go. Now, Chris, I'm going to give you some advice, brother. I'm going to tell you what's going to help you the most is not being isolated. The moment that you get isolated, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to be off on your own and not around other like-minded believers, because then he'll start playing with your mind up here. And I'm going to tell you how I slid back the most was not because somebody else tempted me or pushed me. It's because I got away from God. I got away from the word of God, the people of God. And then the devil started playing with this, and I started reasoning everything that I did. I justified every action I made. Oh, I'm the only one in here. Oh, okay. I'm preaching myself. I'm going to go ahead and put me up a mirror right here then. I know what happens. You know why? Because the devil is a devil of a liar, man. I'm telling you, he does the same tricks to all of us. What he does to one, he does to another. I'm telling you right now, if you will isolate yourself, you're going to start backsliding. And you know what backsliding does? It doesn't make God love you any less. This is where I'm talking about, folks. This is where we got to get it. So when people start backsliding, stop trying to put condemnation on them for it. When they start backsliding, you start telling them, God is a God of restoration. I don't care where you're at. If you'll just take one turn, just turn around right where you're at, God is already there. He's just waiting on you to turn back to him in that moment. That's what we need to be telling people. Not that you're too far gone, or I can't believe that you're doing this or doing that, so on and so forth. I don't judge you. It ain't my place to judge you. I can inspect some fruit, but I don't judge your fruit. What I'm trying to tell you right now is God wants you to come back to him. I don't care how far gone you are. And you know what he does? Man, he opens them arms wide. And when you run back to him, He don't say, wait, go take a shower. You smell of the world. Oh, don't come up to me. You're not proper. Come up to me. No, he wraps his arms around you. He pulls you in close. He takes your clothes and gives you something clean to put on. He cleans you up from the inside out. And the whole time he's saying, I love you. It doesn't matter what you've done. I love you. I loved you when you were yet sinners. A church that is devoted is a church that is steadfast in that fellowship. And lastly, we got to be steadfast in prayer. I think that somehow along the way, and I believe it has to do a lot with today's media, and I think that we've lost the desire for prayer. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think it's because we've become an instantaneous, media-based society now where everything's in the palm of our hands and our communication is all right here and up close. And for us to be able to separate from all this and spend time with an unseen God, I think has lost its luster to people. And I think that what happens is when we stop communicating with God like this, then we stop connecting like this. Because when we're doing this with God and God is downloading stuff into us, how many of you have ever had a word for somebody? Show of hands. Anybody just had a word for somebody? God had told you something that was for somebody else, right? Do you understand that everybody in here ought to be able to raise their hand and say, yes, Lord, that was me? You know why? Because as we're talking to him, God is talking to us. And it's not just for us, but God wants you to participate with something with them or something to help them or maybe a word of encouragement for that person and so on and so forth. But we have cut off the download link. We need to be a church of prayer. I'm convicted over this. I'm so hard convicted over it that on Sunday mornings I spend time praying in this church. And let me tell you something. I don't need to be the only person praying in this church. I don't care if you're at home. I don't care if you're in your car. I don't care where you are. But what I want you to do is join me in starting to pray in this church. Because what will happen is that as we pray, God will start answering. We have not because we ask not. Number two, God built a demonstrating church. Look at verse 43 through 45. Then fear came upon every soul. Let me make this clear. When it says fear here, it doesn't mean like you're scared of the dark fear. Y'all don't mind if I take my coat off, do you? Y'all be praying for Brother Dan this morning. Matter of fact, we're going to stop just a second. Bow your heads. Lord, right now, God, we ask that you touch Brother Dan from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, that his kidneys come in line, that you give him a healing touch by the power of the Holy Spirit right now. We speak health and healing into his body, Lord, and we loose that infirmary in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Poor little Brother Dan, they were going to be in church today. Him and Miss Tina were so excited about coming back to church. And he's in the ER today. I got a text message. They've admitted him in. They're going to do some dialysis treatments on him, but he's a precious little fella. If you don't know him, you need to get to know him. He's a good guy. But he told me one time, he said, Pastor, you need to calm down a little bit. He said, I'm a little worried about you. I said, worried about me? What you worried about me? Well, I'm just saying, you get up there sweating and getting all hyper. I said, do you know who I studied under? I studied under the chair walking Pastor Mays. Now, come on. I am mild compared to him now. Anyway, but I tell you right now that God is going to touch Brother Dan. He's going to bring him out of that hospital, and we're going to see them back here in church next week. Amen? You in agreement with me?
Yeah.
Say, I'm in agreement.
I'm in agreement.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So the second thing is a demonstrating church here. In verse 43, it said to fear. The fear was not afraid of the dark. The fear was a reverence, love, fear. When God touches you in a way that only he could do that, that sets you free from whatever bondage you're in, you have an adoration for God then. You understand something that most people don't understand, and what that is to be set free. You know who I love the most? It wasn't my attorney, it wasn't my mama, it wasn't nobody else. It was the man who stood there to unlock the door and opened it up and let me walk on out. Here's what I'm telling you, Jesus has done set you free. He's opened up that door for you. Once you know that and you love him, you've got that fear and respect of Jesus Christ. And all these people understood that. They had watched all this and they see the apostles talking about it, and the fear came over all those people. Not that I'm afraid, but that I am in love with Jesus. How many of you are in love with Jesus today? The Bible said, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. We're going to have a yard sale this afternoon. Y'all bring everything. No, I'm just kidding. I knew that would get a holy hush. The early church, when they got together, they sold all of their possessions. They were a demonstrating church, is what they were. The second D was that they demonstrated. They demonstrated two things. They demonstrated power and love. The power was the signs and wonders. You know Mark tells us that? Mark 16:17 tells us that. It says that signs and wonders will follow those who believe. I would be curious to see how many signs and wonders we could talk about today. I'd be curious. If I went around the room and said, what did you witness in the last month? I'll even go the last year, because let's just be honest, we don't see people raised from the dead every day. But I'm curious to see, are we seeing signs and wonders in our believers' lives as a church? Yes, we are. You know what that power is? That power is miracles. Don't get me wrong. I believe, I know, I've been participating of, I've seen miracles happen. I believe that the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead is the same God today that can resurrect anything that's dead in your life. I believe he's the one that can heal you of cancer. I believe the one that he could heal your kidneys from dialysis. I believe that he is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I believe that wholeheartedly. But you know what? Are we acting on our belief? I'll tell y'all a little story here. I know I'm going to get y'all out of here in the next 5 hours. we went to men's breakfast the other day. And we got a little thing here. We meet down on Wednesdays down at Johnson's Crossroad, and we eat. And we get done, and we fellowship, just a few of us there. But you're always welcome to join us anytime you like. We meet at 8 o'clock. And then the first Wednesday of every month, we have lunch or have breakfast here at the church. So come and join us. But we had finished eating, and we're getting ready, and we're coming out, and we're out, and some of us are talking, and I see Brother Roger over here, and he's talking to this elderly man that's, I can't remember if he was on a cane or not, but he was real feeble when he was walking through, and I saw Roger out the corner of my eye, and he's about 20 feet away from me. I don't know what he's talking about, but he's over there, and then out of the middle of everything, he just stops and says, "Hey, fellas, y'all come over here, please. We're going to pray for this man." So we stop, we come over, and I said, "Roger, you pray for him. You pray for him." And right then and there, we prayed for that man. The power will never be displayed if you don't ever enact on it. If you won't step out in faith and do something, you will never see God's power work through you. Do you know we pray for him? When you come up for prayer, I just assume that you not make it up to the altar. I'm just going to be honest with you. I just assume that when you come up for prayer, that you would never even make it up here. That on your way, that God would touch you and grant you your position right there where you're at. I don't want to be involved in it. I want God to do it for you and through you. Do you understand that? I don't need to be. So when you get prayer, it ain't because I want to pray for you. It's because I want God to do something for you. You know what happens then? All the pressure is off of me. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Pastor used to always say, I don't take credit when it works, and I don't take fault when it doesn't. He'd always tell me that. He said, you just do what the Word of God tells you to do, and let everything else be in God's hands, not in your hands. So you know what? I'm glad that we got people like Roger who say, let me pray for you. I want to encourage you today is be a power church. Go out there and start demonstrating it. Grab somebody's hand and pray for them. Believe something for them. They need a miracle. Grab their hand and believe them for a miracle. I'm going to tell you right now, just because you don't see it in that moment, don't mean it ain't coming. I've seen people who've been prayed for walk away, and 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. Oh, God touched me and he healed me. Praise the Lord. Power. The second thing was love. They loved. They sold all of their possessions. They gave generously to each other. What they were worried about was each other's well-being. You know what I believe that, and I'm not talking about our church, but you know what I believe that the church has migrated to? Well, good for you, but great for me. Me and my own, I don't really want to step out of my comfort zone with you. And you know what happens with that? You got a church that you got people in that are suffering and hurting and don't nobody know it. Now, we said something about Miss Eva earlier, and I'm going to brag on her just for a second. Miss Eva, you give God all the glory. I know you do. Every week, Miss Eva calls me. Every week. Pastor Mike, who's sick? Who needs something? Who can we make food for? Did you hear from so-and-so? I'm going to send so-and-so a card. Have you heard from them? There is genuine concern through the power of love that she has for her fellow congregants, for her fellow believers. Now, I need to take a little notes out of Miss Eva's book. How many of us need to take a little notes out of Miss Eva's book? That love that's right there is what bound that church together. The reason why that church lasted like it did, the reason why it continues to be a church that will last, because it was built around love for each other. We got to have a church that is demonstrating love. See, it's not about what we put on paper. Doctrines are great. We believe them. So on and so forth, but it's not about what we believe. We could put out, you know, I could send out a flyer to everybody in all of Portland right now, and I could list out all the doctrines that we believe, everything that we get, and we could mail it to every last one of them. And do you know that it wouldn't amount to a hill of beans is if what they see doesn't match what they read? I'm going to tell you right now, I've known churches. All welcome. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome until you come in without a tie on. Oh, we love everybody until you come in with, you know, a smelly old stinky shirt on, holes in it, and a pair of shorts. Well, you're loved, but you're loved from a distance. I'm going to tell you right now, we hold on to them when they walk into this church. We grab their hand. I got a place right for you, right beside me. Let me tell you, that is the true power of love. You know what somebody says? I'm worthy. Man, I'm worthy to be with them. They accept me just as I am. And let me tell you what happens. When you'll accept them, Jesus will change them, not you. That's what happened with me. Dennis, what happened to you, wasn't it, buddy? Brother Dennis came in here. Yeah, you go ahead and laugh, Carla. That's right. Brother Dennis didn't want nothing to do with the church or nothing else. Dennis got saved in this church, didn't you, brother? Baptized in this church. More importantly, Dennis got changed in this church. All of a sudden, Dennis came in. Now, Dennis wasn't a nice put together guy now or then that he is now. Back then, Dennis was a little more rough around the edges when he was coming in, wasn't he? But you know what? We didn't say, hey, you got to polish up before you come in. We love you just the way you are. I want to be a church that shows the power and love by demonstrating it to other people. Amen? Amen? Y'all ready to go home yet? I'm sweating enough. I think it's about time. The last D, the 3D church, is a dynamic church. Verse 46 says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved. I thought that was pretty interesting as I was reading this. I'm going to start this Bible study. Here's a sign-up sheet on the back. And when I started it, I said, I'm going to have about 10 people. I wanted to kind of keep it small. I said about 10 people. I'd do this Bible study, and I'm believing this is going to birth something. I'm going to tell you what it's going to birth. Because this, I don't do this lightly. I'm just trusting in God. I've sought him. I've sought his word. I've sought his direction. I believe that the Lord has got a steps. The steps of our church are ordered in this. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to have this Bible study class. I want you to sign up. I said 10 people. We got 14 on the first day. I said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to shut the doors in. If people are hungry, let's get fed. Amen? But I want you to sign up. The reason why I want you to sign up is because I'm printing material out to hand to you, okay? Stuff for you to actually have. So if you haven't signed up, sign up. It's going to start 1 week from this Tuesday. And we're going to go from 6 to 7:30. 6 to 7 will be the class. 7 to 7:30 will be prayer time. We're going to come together. We're going to pray every time we get together, too. And watch and see what God does. There was something interesting when I read there. It said that they were meeting in the temple, and they were going from home to home. See, corporate worship is great. Don't forsake the assembly of each other. We need to, especially as the time draws nigh. We need to come together like this. Don't get me wrong. But do you know that it's where the home-to-home visits go? The where you really get to know your brother and sister of Christ? Brother Mark, my daughter used to call him Uncle Mark all the time, Michaela. Love Brother Mark. Would run up, and anywhere we were at, remember Mark, we were in Burger King drive-thru one time. Y'all don't believe I eat Burger King, do you? I don't supersize. Don't judge me. Love me as I am. Hear me? I'm moving on. I'm in the drive-thru, and we're coming through, and I'm getting some healthy parfait thing as we're going through. I'm sorry, Lord, I repent. And I look and see, and there's Brother Mark in a car. And I tell Michaela, I said, hey, honey, there's Brother Mark behind us. Uncle Mark stops. I got to get out. We stopped the car, got out. Mark got out. She came running up to his arms and jumped in his arms and hugged on him and loved on him like that. Cassidy, you used to babysit Michaela in there in the nursery. I got pictures of you and her, and you had this little phone filter thing with some dog ears. You remember that? There's pictures of those things. My daughter grew up in this church, loving the people that's in the church, loved that church today. Do you know why? Because they were a small community of people. Here's what I'm getting at. If we don't stay connected and grow to love each other like this, you're going to see people start offshooting. That's what happens. They get distracted. They get pulled away. They do other things. And then what happens is that when they have a need, you don't know about it. If I have failed you, I'm sorry. If you have a need in this church and I don't know about it, I am sorry. But I want to meet your need. God wants to meet your need. And if we don't become a church that knows what people are going through that are in it, then we're missing it. Because the real love is about the sacrifice that you would make for somebody else to be able to make it through. And so in this church, what's going to be born out of this study? And I'm excited about it. We're going to look at the book of Philippians is where we're going to. And it's not just the words that are in it. We're going to look at the context of it, tell you about who wrote it and in the time period. It's going to be some good informational, but more importantly, it's going to be growth material for you. Okay? And then what's going to birth out of this is we're going to birth out small groups out of this. We're going to have pockets of people. We already have some that have organically started in this church. People get together to do certain things, but here's what I want you to know is that it's not just you and your little five people that you know. It's you and the five that want to bring in the two more or the three more or the five more. As people come in, Brother Chris, you and your wife back here ought to be part of one of these small groups because, as you just said, the devil came against you. But how good would it have been, Chris, if somebody would have been there for you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday? And said, you're going to be okay, brother. Now, that's what I'm talking about. So what's going to birth out of this is going to be small groups. That community from house to house. Now, does it have to be in your house? I don't care. You can come to my house, I reckon. Sorry, honey. I was looking at you. You going to make me clean up? Yes, I'm. But God is going to do something great through it. Amen? There's three things then. The dynamic church did. They worshiped daily, both in small and large groups. They had gladness and simplicity of heart. How many of you are content where you're at and what you're doing? How many of you are content with what you have? Now, here's the second part of that question. How many of you want more for your glory or God's glory? Now, see, I'm not content. But it ain't about my possessions that I'm content in. As I'm not content that I don't see enough God going on in people's lives and in their homes. I'm not content with it. Simplicity of heart. I love you because God loves you. I think you're valuable because God thinks you're valuable. I don't have to have everything in the world. I don't need everything in the world. I need what God wants me to have, what I need to have, and I want enough to be able to bless you with my overflow of what I have. I love this one time. I know we're going to get out of here, guys. I know you're ready to go. I saw something one time Pat posted or Kathy did on Facebook. It said, when God blesses your finances, right? And he was talking about it was something about a dinner table. You know, it said, don't just store that up. Add more seats to your table. When God blesses you, be a blessing for others. Do you know that's where it's actually at? As God knows, my kids have a bag of M&Ms. If I sit them down with the whole bag, they'll eat them all. But you know what I love about Michaela? If you give her a bag of M&Ms, you want one? You want one? I'll share with you. Do you want what I have? Do you want what I have? Do you want what I have? And I'm going to tell you right now that God is going to reward that young lady. God will reward you for doing the same thing. And number three in that was praising God. We got to praise God every day in everything that we do. Every step that we take, we ought to be doing it for God's glory and not ours. Amen? Amen. And lastly, here's what I want to say. We run, we have about 75, Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're somewhere around 75 to 80 people on average. Is that about right on Sunday morning? If everybody's here, we got about 115. If everybody was here, 115, 120. Last year, at the end of last year, we were averaging about 65 people on a Sunday morning. The last verse there said that God, the Lord, hold on, let me get back up here. I don't want to misquote. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord did it. Here's what I want to tell you. When you will become a 3D church, when we're a 3D church, it ain't the marketing campaign. It ain't the lights in the shows. It ain't about the color of the walls or the type of carpet you've got in here. It ain't about how many programs you got going on, how many times you eat a month with each other. It's about none of that. The Lord is the one that gives growth to the church. The Lord is the one that calls in those to be saved. Now, I think that's pretty appropriate. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been talking about we need to be. Let me pat you on the back. You are a 3D church. You are the 3D church. You know why? The evidence is right here. We're about to baptize one today. We got another one that got saved last week. This year alone, in this little tiny church, we've had 17 salvations in this little church. So I want to tell you, thank you for being a 3D church. But we're not done. We're just getting started. And what will happen is other people will see what it is that you're part of and experience. And just like these two gentlemen right here, they'll want to come in and they'll want to walk out changed when they walk in. Everybody stand with me this morning. We're going to have a baptism. Brother Ricky, if you want to get baptized now, you're going to change beforehand, sir. Right? I love it. I love it. I love it. Everybody stand with me this morning. I want to pray real quick. Would y'all come into agreement with me today? I just want to pray that we have an opportunity to be a 3D church in the world. Here's what I want you to do. This week, I want you to love somebody through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? That means that when they don't like you, you love them anyway. That's hard to do. I didn't say it was easy, but God could do it. There are people who, I'm telling you, don't like me, but I pray for them every single day. And no, I don't pray that the pot hits them in the head or that they get tripped up over the speed bump. I pray that God set them free from whatever it is that's got them bound. So this week I want to encourage you, love somebody through the power of the Holy Spirit. Grab somebody's hand. When they start talking about their day or their week, grab their hand. Say, just like Brother Roger did, can I pray for you? Do you need something? Let me pray for you. Don't worry about the outcome. You're supposed to pray for them. That's what you're supposed to do. And then, you know what else? Then invite somebody and say, listen, we've got a community of believers who love God and love each other. I just like, you remember what it said? Come and see. That's all you got to say to them. Come and see. Let's bow our heads. Lord, Father, God, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you that you have built a 3D church here, Lord. I thank you that through you, God, we are making an impact in the community for others, God. And here's what, Lord, I ask you. I raise my petition to you as we are getting ready for the harvest that you said is plentiful, Lord, that you raise up the laborers for it, God, that you put them in the right places with the right power and the right mindset, the right heart, the right love, Lord, that as people come in here, God, that we be able to demonstrate the true 3D church, the church that you built that will last. And Lord, let us make an impact that goes far beyond our own generations so that my children's children, Lord, can have a place to come to, that they can be part of, God, that they know that the truth resides there, that your love resides there, and that their freedom resides there, Lord. Open up God opportunities for us this week, Lord. Let us have the opportunity to share your love with others. And in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Brother Ricky, come on down here. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. All of the family, anybody? Yeah, come on down here, Dylan.
Come on, Maggie.
Come on, Maggie. So y'all don't know here. It was kind of interesting. Can I tell a little story here about y'all don't be hitting them up for lunch every Sunday, but there's a tradition up here of going to Colorado Grill after church. And Pat and Kathy and Brother Terry over here, they all go and they eat at Colorado Grill.
Sunday.
Yeah, that's right, every Sunday. And this young lady right here waits on them.
Yeah.
And they absolutely love her. Her name is Maggie.
That's right.
Now, let me tell you something about how God works and all this. So they've been going there now for what, a month or two? How long y'all been going to Colorado Grill?
15 years.
Okay, long time. All right. Been going to Colorado Grill. And this whole time, here's Maggie's been waiting on them. Now, Ricky comes into our church. Did you know that they were here? Did you know that they were related?
No.
Here he comes into our church.
Not until I saw her walk in.
Rededicates his life to Christ. Comes in, brings his family, and here it is, Maggie, who's been with them for many years at Colorado Grill.
She's heard us talk about Jesus a lot in there.
Maggie asked you to come to church? Let me tell you something. Dylan told me one time, he said, I just want to thank y'all for what's been going on in your life.
Yeah.
Man, let me tell you something, Brother Rick. We love you.
That's right.
Your family, all of heaven rejoiced the day that you said, Jesus, become my Lord and Savior. And all of us are going to rejoice today as we watch this gentleman get baptized. But that's what I'm telling you. The power of love.
Right.
Sow a seed. Watch it sprout. And I'm telling you, somebody else will be up here and you go, I know them. Amen. Praise God.
Brother Rick, here.
There you go, right there. That's perfect. And sit down right there, brother. Just have a seat. Now, I'm going to hold this handkerchief, and all you do is you hold on to my wrist, okay? That's all you've got to do. Both hands on my wrist, okay? That's simple enough. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to place this up to your mouth and your nose, okay? And then one more. I'm going to do all the work. You just relax, okay?
Okay.
Brother Ricky, this is no more than a symbolism of what's happened inside of you. Baptism doesn't save us. You know that.
Right.
But the old you gets left in the water.
Amen.
And the new reborn comes out of it. And that water that we're in washes away all of our sins. Jesus washed our sins away. That water is a symbolism of something being clean and brand new, brother.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, man. I've watched just a difference in you just in the few months that you've been with us from the time you walked in.
It's been nice.
Let me tell you, man, God loves you, buddy. We love you.